The cottage in the woods, they called it. Later on, that became the gatekeeper's lodge, yet they had been so happy there that they kept the name for their grand new manor house. Mr. Vaughan couldn't have been any prouder if he had built that place with his own two paws. It was his vision, his will behind it all, as if he'd wrestled it from rock and timber himself. It was no cottage, either. The very thought is laughable. 8 bedrooms it had in the east wing alone, with balconies and hot and cold running water, no less, and the huge nursery, of course. They had such hopes, such dreams. And then there was the great hall itself, so grand, with the parquet floor and the carved mantelpiece, the den for him and the solarium for her, and the drawing room with the crystal chandelier. And out through the French doors were the terrace and the gardens, those French doors that the servants said never did shut right, the one floor, that whole great house just sitting there, and a child could have opened those doors, and did. But rustic? No, nothing rustic about it, not even my own quarters. Yet they talk about the 3 bowls, 3 chairs, 3 beds, as if that were all there was. No one seems to realise that that was as far as the girl could count then. There was so much she didn't know. A regular little savage she was in the beginning. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Master Teddy would have stopped me with a look and insisted that I start over. Nothing pleased him half so much as a story well told. I was an eager young bear that fall when I first came to live at the cottage. I had been taken on as governess to Master Teddy, my first position. Fresh out of school and desperately anxious to please, I was determined to prove myself and make my dear Papa proud. Papa had raised me from a cub after Mama died, and he'd showered as much love on me as any 2 parents could have.
"Ursula," he would say to me, "you're the apple of my eye and the beat of my heart."
And so it was with great ambition and pride that I set off to join the Vaughan's household. Indeed, my father and Mr. Vaughan had been friends in their university days, and I knew that father greatly prized Mr. Vaughan's good opinion. My own parents had married young, married for love, and I had come along shortly thereafter. Mr. Vaughan had married much later, after he had made his fortune in lumber and speculation. He had prospered brilliantly, while father struggled by as headmaster of a small school, but their friendship still thrived. Papa was a great believer in education, and so, despite our slim resources, he had managed to send me to the fine private seminary for young ladies that had lately been the centre of my life. At Miss Pinchkin's Academy for Young Ladies, I received instruction in literature, history, art, music, French, science, natural history, geography, algebra, and comportment, including how to serve tea and how to properly respond to a young man proposing matrimony. Feeling keenly the faith that Papa placed in me and wanting so to please him, I had worked my hardest and graduated in 3 years, the youngest in my class. Upon my graduation, Papa presented me with the most precious gift I had ever received, my Mama's silver locket. A lovely piece of jewellery, it opened to reveal a miniature portrait of Mama and Papa on their wedding day. I wore it always from that day forward. That and Mama's wedding dress were the only things I had of hers, and they were my prized possessions.